in general, relationships has become, I think, kind of an underrated way to bring traffic, creating relationships in everything, even your vendors or your, you know, service providers. Everything's an opportunity today that needs to go after.
It's the E-commerce Master Plan Podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's great to have you here. Thank you for hitting play and choosing to listen to another of our inspiring guests. This month, so for this one and the next four episodes following it, we are diving into the world of home and garden. All those businesses selling products for your home and your garden. It's an eclectic sector with big things, complicated things, small things, usable things. There's all kinds of stuff that gets sold in the home and garden sector. Some of it even dies in the world of plants if they end up anywhere near me. So we are going to be looking into some very unusual stories. There's going to be lots of inspiration, and we've tried to pick out some very different types of home and garden businesses for you. We're kicking off by looking into the world of art. What do you put on the walls of your home or your office for that matter? It's an interesting space and one that is continuing to grow online. Consumers are increasingly getting happier and happier buying art. So it's a real pleasure to have today's guest who is talking us through how they manage three very different routes to sales, routes to the customer. We're talking a bit about wholesale. We're talking about how they do it on Amazon. Yes, Amazon. And we're going to be talking about how they do it on their own website too. So loads of inspiration on this one. Please listen right to the end of the episode so you don't miss out on my guest's top tips and my own take on this episode. Want to understand what the best in the business are doing with their digital marketing? Of course you do. Well, you're in luck. The results-obsessed team at Genie Goals have pulled together a complete guide to the most innovative, market-leading and impact-driving home and garden campaigns of the last 12 months. Want a copy of their Home Goals ebook? Want a copy of the Home Goals ebook for free without even having to fill in a form? Of course you do. Head to ecmp.info/homegoals to get it right now. Genie Goals and the experts they've collaborated with to create Home Goals have decades of strategic industry insight and technical skills for e-commerce success that you really should be dipping into. Get your copy now so you can start the year strong and compete with the best in the biz. Download the Home Goals ebook today via ecmp.info/homegoals. That's ecmp.info/homegoals, all one word. Have you yet downloaded our ebook? To celebrate reaching episode 500, we've created an epic e-commerce success-focused ebook for you, packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable, featuring the advice of many, many past guests alongside industry experts and many of you as well, our listeners. I've checked every single tip and organize the whole thing into sections for you, making it super easy to dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need it. This ebook needs to be sat on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at ecmp.info/ebook. Get 2024's most valuable e-commerce ebook now, ecmp.info/ebook. And now to introduce our special guest. Amitai Sasson is the VP of e-commerce at Overstock Art, an online art gallery selling reproductions of the great masters and original works. Founded in 2002, they now sell via their custom website, Amazon, and provide dropship services for large retail partners. Overstock Art now has over 500,000 customers and annual sales of eight figures. Hello, Amitai.
Hi, Chloe. Thank you so much for having me.
Great to have you on. I do love a nice art chat, even though this is an e-commerce chat. So it's really cool to have you here. How did you end up in e-commerce?
Well, I guess it's a combination of two things that I love. One of them is computers. That's what I studied in school when I was in Indiana. And the other one is selling stuff. And even when I was in school, One of the ways to make a little bit of cash was to sell all the books for all my friends on the varsity volleyball team. So I was the bookseller, and I was selling on eBay and half.com, and I just really loved that entire experience. And then those two, kind of matching those two together, started the e-commerce site with the oil painting product. Was something that was exciting to me, because oil paintings are not exactly a product that you would find online, especially not back then. And so I thought it was a novel way to sell art. And so that's how we started in e-commerce.
And you say about the oil painting product that you sell. Tell us a bit more about what that's evolved into and what it is that Overstock Art sells these days.
Yeah, so our flagship product is our hand-painted oil paintings. These are reproductions, mostly reproductions of famous artists like Monet, Van Gogh, Renoir, Klimt, and those. And these paintings are all hand-painted, oil on canvas. We source those from studios from overseas. And what it has evolved is this handmade product that traditionally was a product of the rich, we like to say. And we match it now with this. We've developed into a complete solution with a frame shop. We have saws and underpinners and stretch. And so where we chop and join frames and we stretch canvases, and we deliver to you custom hand-painted art with a museum-quality frame to your door in less than 3 days. And so we've taken that core competency, and we try to get it into as much eyeballs as possible online. And so that's the challenge, is to get it into as many channels as possible. And we've been able to duplicate this core competency across all of the channels that we work with.
Got you. So to put it in really basic terms, if I love Van Gogh's sunflowers, and I want not just a print of Van Gogh sunflowers, but something that looks like paint because it has been painted by someone, you've got one lying around on canvas somewhere that you'll put on a frame for me, and I can pick whether I want the modern frame or something that looks like the one in whatever museum it hangs in, and then that gets sent to me.
Exactly.
That's very cool.
Exactly. And that's, you know, that part of educating customers that this is not a canvas print, this is an actual oil paintings, that like has been like our biggest challenge, just to, so people can grasp the fact that, oh, wait, this is an oil painting and not a print. So yeah, so we're able to deliver that. And this is our claim. This is our flagship product. Since then, we've developed in wall decor in different areas. We also have a large line of mirrors, ornaments, tiles, and other wall decor products. So yeah.
And original artworks too these days. So it's not purely the reproduction pieces.
Yeah. So we have a sister site called Artists Become. It's a program for up and coming artists where they can showcase their art for free, and they can sell their art, their originals, directly to the end consumer. What that gives us is we have the opportunity to then create reproductions of these works, either hand-painted or canvas prints, depending on the customer. And it really gives us a range of product to offer an end consumer. And it's a win-win because we give royalties to the artist for every derivative work of there that gets sold. So it's really a win-win. We have 2,500 artists all over the world in this program. And it really has enriched what we can offer to our end customer.
Very cool. I love that. Bit like, you know, you can upload some of the big photo sites like Getty's Images, etc. You can upload your own photos and get some commission back, but you're doing it for art, which is very, very cool. I can really see how those two sites work together. So the business is based in the US. Given the scale and the fragility of your product, do you restrict sales to the US or do you sell globally?
So one of the hardest things, especially in the last 3-4 years, ever since COVID, is the cost of shipping. So, I mean, if you buy a hand-painted art and you frame it, it could be the size of a big screen TV. So shipping it out framed overseas is extremely expensive. So we do send overseas, but we don't market there because of that challenge. And since it's not really a pick and pack operation where we can have a DC set up in UK, there is that core competency of creating a frame shop and everything like that. So we've never really been able to get into the global game. And so that still is an opportunity that's there on the shelf. But really, we feel that there's still a lot of opportunity still in the United States. So we're focused in our marketing and our messaging to the US still.
Yeah, why overcomplicate it when there's still growth potential with the system you've already built?
Yeah.
And you mentioned that I mentioned in the intro, you mentioned to me before we hit the record button, that you do a drop ship service for large retail partners. Now, a lot of people in e-commerce go drop ship, ooh. So could you please, obviously that's not the type of drop shipping you're doing, but could you explain a little bit about how that works? Because I think a few people would be really interested.
Yeah, when people hear drop ship, they're thinking, okay, I'm going to buy some stuff from some vendor, I'm going to sell it, and I'm going to tell the vendor to send it directly to the customer. And that sort of, but we're exactly the other way around. So we work with partner retailers. We've developed relationships with some of the biggest brands in the United States, like Nordstrom, Macy's, Kohl's, Sam's Club, and more of these types of retailers, where we put SKUs. Basically, they offer their customers hand-painted art, framed hand-painted art. And once there is a sale, they give us, they send us over the orders and we fulfill it directly to the customer. So that enables us to basically, get in front of the customer again, So that's a big part of our business is this relationship with partner retailers. You know, it's not a set it and forget it type of relationship. It's something that you really need to continue to cultivate all the time. Relationships with buyers, with merchandisers, creating promotions, being, very, very hands-on. But that's something that we've developed over the years. And that's a big part of our business today. Yeah.
I'd imagine like the wall art buyer at Nordstrom is going, right, this is our campaign at the moment. They're probably going, this is our campaign for spring 2026 or something. And they're taking a selection of your pieces to put up on their site, and then each season that changes. So it's not like you're just giving them a feed of everything. It's much more of a traditional wholesale relationship, but then you're doing that drop shipping part as well.
Yeah. So there are some people are probably familiar with marketplaces where you have a feed and that's about it, where as opposed to with these traditional retailers, you have a feed, but you really need to continuously offer them certain events that they can run. You need to kind of do the work for them. In a way, and tell them, hey, these would be great. Give them the Excel, show them what they're going to make, show them, the opportunity, because they love that. And then hopefully they'll give you a chance to get exposure. Because even if you're on, let's say, Wayfair, if you're not, there are 10,000 other different options that they can get, or even more. So you really need to stand out. So the way to do that is to continuously cultivate the relationships.
Got you. So you're their first thought when they're going, right, what's in the next season? I know we need to talk to Armitai and the team at Overstock Art. That's the goal, isn't it?
It's exactly.
First on that spreadsheet of products for the new season.
Yeah.
Any advice for anyone who's going, we should be doing that with our products, and who is currently talking to nobody? How do you go about getting in with those guys?
Well, it starts off with reconnaissance, looking at, other retailers that you think your product would be a good fit on, and then looking at the category and see if there's vacancy out there. Then try to reach out. I mean, boots on the ground, you need to do the work and try to reach out. LinkedIn is a great option to try and reach out to some of these, some of the decision makers. I believe in calling. I mean, let's be honest, they usually don't answer the phone, but, I believe in the phone. And yeah, and try to create the relationships. There are service providers that can help you get in the door with some marketplaces, some retailers. If you feel that you have a product that you're willing to sell on different channels and you just need the eyeballs there, then I would definitely recommend to try and do that. There is, of course, the margins are smaller. The payment terms are a little tougher, than on your, you don't get the cash immediately. But in this day and age, everybody's fighting for traffic and the cost of acquisition is so high. I think it's a great tactic to try and pursue, to get on and create relationships with other retailers, and in general, relationships has become, I think, kind of an underrated way to bring traffic, you know, creating relationships in everything, even your vendors or your, you know, service providers. Everything is an opportunity today that needs to go after.
Oh, definitely. Completely agree with you there. But then I think it's kind of fascinating. It's like you've got this direct relationship with the customer via your site. You've got the slightly one removed relationship with the customer, but a deep relationship with the buyers at Macy's, Nordstrom, et cetera, et cetera. And then you're doing the Amazon thing, which is like the least relationship driven, quality of products, standout USP driven one of the lot. So how does Amazon fit into your mix with such a unique product? I mean, I've just bought an adapter for a screen to connect to a computer on Amazon. It was like, I got 20 million options of the same thing. I just went with the cheapest one, away I go. How do you manage to sell art and hugely quality, unique art on Amazon?
I think one of the challenges in the art business, selling art online is not easy. It's a product that has a low conversion inherently, because especially this day and age, people see something nice, they're just going to flip and see another something nice. And, you know, it's hard to stick to something and pull the trigger. And so one of our advantages, and again, this is, I think, one of the reasons for our success really are the keywords. So we are very focused on artists. You know, people search for Van Gogh, people search for Klimt and Monet, and a lot of people start that journey on Amazon. And then it's up to us on an A-plus page, you know, creating quality pages on Amazon to convert these customers. One of the way we drive traffic to our site is also through SEO work on these keywords. And that's a huge advantage for our business, because we don't have a brand that's, you know, that's known across in every household, but everybody knows Van Gogh and everybody knows Monet, and people search for that. We have 48,000 keywords that are searched every day that we are appearing on. So that gives a lot of traffic to us.
What I love about that, both the Amazon approach and the approach on your own website with the SEO, is I think so often people go, right, we're going to do Amazon, we'll load everything, we'll make everything perfect, which clearly is never going to happen. And you have to find a way of picking what the best 20% of your products or 10% or 5% of your products are going to be on Amazon. And the same with SEO. And because you've got those big name artists, it becomes a lot more straightforward. Like I would take a rough guess that on Amazon, your page for Van Gogh's sunflowers is 10 times better than your page for that random Van Gogh where he's sitting miserably in a blue room that no one's seen. You know, the one that frequently gets left out of the books, and I'm partly making up which painting it is. But like, even within the artists, I'm guessing there's certain pieces you'll do more SEO work, more Amazon work on, and so forth.
Yeah. And it's also very much in tune with what's popular now in the world. All of a sudden, you know, I remember Munch the Scream got stolen in Norway. All of a sudden, everybody wants, you know, all of a sudden it's popular. And so you need to kind of be up with the times. There is a Klimt that broke records selling on Sotheby's. Everybody wants a reproduction. Now it's very searchable. So now, you know, so you need to keep up with the trends, and we try to do that. In general, inventory management in general, you know, keeping up with what's popular and dropping things that are unpopular, because, you know, what you see on our site is what you get. This is actually the painting that you're getting. So we hold stock. It's not like you need to wait now 6 weeks or something like that, or 9 weeks to have it in your home. So for us, inventory management and knowing what's hot and what's not is huge.
Yeah, because I suppose the people in those workshops around the world, Chloe, who are creating the artworks for you, actually putting the paint on the canvas, yeah, it's not like they can suddenly knock out 100 of something in a day. They need a bit of time to perfect that one, and if there's a new one coming in, and then to work through it as well. So it's as much planning as in, you know, trend planning and so forth as in any business, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, like, let's say Van Gogh Starry Night, You know, it's a very heavy set painting with a lot of oil. So that's something that can take up to 30 days just to dry after completion. We can, you know, so it can take up to 90 days for us to get such a product. So we need to plan ahead of these kind of things and do a lot of forecasting. And that's something that's also a part of our, what we like to think is our competitive edge, because none of our competitors are holding stock. Everybody's kind of made to order kind of deal, which is easier. But in the important days of the year and the holidays, we want to extend those days, and they're out of the race, you know, 3 weeks out. And so for us, those days are like we're very seasonal, and those days are huge for us.
Well, because there's quite a lot you can predict by going, oh, the V&A is going to be doing this, or the Guggenheim's doing that, or the Met's doing this year, so we know that. But then I guess there's quite a lot you can't predict, like all of a sudden someone uses something in a film or an advert or something, and all of a sudden it's like, oh no, there's no way we could have known about that one.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, then that's the challenge, the permanent challenge, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so you've got all these complicated channels on the go, fairly complicated buying process and predictions process as well. So what does your team look like? What are you doing in-house? Are you outsourcing any? Obviously, you're outsourcing the painting, but how are you choosing to manage all of that?
Yeah, so we do all of our fulfillment and production side, because we have the frame shop where we have, you know, saws and underpinners and everything. So we have all of that production in house. So we have frontline, what we like to call, since COVID, we call frontline employees, the people that are doing the order fulfillment. You know, we have framers, people who stretch the painting, and then people who box it. So that's process in and of itself, the production side. Regarding the website, we have a designer in-house, and we have, you know, a site manager, but we do utilize Upwork quite a lot. We've been utilizing that for a long time. I manage all the developers we have, again, via Upwork. We use a lot of that. We do management of our development from using Bitbucket, GitHub, and so we do all the version control through that. And then We're a very lean team, and I think in e-commerce you have to be very, very lean.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are.
Want to understand what the best in the business are doing with their digital marketing? Of course you do. Well, you're in luck. The results-obsessed team at Genie Goals have pulled together a complete guide to the most innovative, market-leading and impact-driving home and garden campaigns of the last 12 months. Want a copy of their Home Goals ebook? Want a copy of the Home Goals ebook for free without even having to fill in a form? Of course you do. Head to ecmp.info/homegoals to get it right now. Genie Goals and the experts they've collaborated with to create Home Goals have decades of strategic industry insight and technical skills for e-commerce success that you really should be dipping into. Get your copy now so you can start the year strong and compete with the best in the biz. Download the Home Goals ebook today via ecmp.info/homegoals. That's ecmp.info/homegoals, all one word. Have you yet downloaded our ebook? To celebrate reaching episode 500, we've created an epic e-commerce success-focused ebook for you, packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable, featuring the advice of many, many past guests alongside industry experts and many of you as well, our listeners. I've checked every single tip and organize the whole thing into sections for you, making it super easy to dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need it. This ebook needs to be sat on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at ecmp.info/ebook. Get 2024's most valuable e-commerce ebook now, ecmp.info/ebook.
It's time for the top tips round.
Okay, I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. Amitai, are you ready for the top tips?
Top tips, sure.
Here we go. The book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
Well, I actually thought of two books. I hope that's okay. The first one is The Goal by Professor Eliyahu Goldratt. And I did my MBA in Tel Aviv University, and I'm a big disciple of the theory of constraint. And The Goal is actually a novel. So it's a very easy read, and it explains in very simple ways the basics of the theory of constraints, which really for me was life-altering. We employed the theory of constraint almost in every facet of the business, finding your constraint, trying to create more throughput, looking at work in progress, and really honing in on what's important and what's not. So that's one book. And the other one is Managing by the Numbers, and it's by Chuck Kramer. This book it explains very simply like how to follow the numbers of your business. Because I think many e-commerce entrepreneurs just don't really understand in full what's their number and don't have a view of what's really going on in the business. So understanding these numbers, seeing financials at least once a month. And for us, we do a scorecard every week where every, manager of operations or accounting or everybody kind of pitches in the numbers. And so we have a clear view of what's going on. So I'm a big believer in following a scorecard and knowing the numbers is super important, especially these days.
I love your rationale and the way you've explained both of those. And I love those two. I don't think I've ever come across those two, so I'm going to have to go and check them out myself. The traffic top tip, which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
Well, here I'll talk about again two. I think still email is the number one source, at least for us, of generating sales. I think SMS, at least in the United States, is underrated still. It's a channel now with deliverability issues that a lot of retailers are having because of email issues and the changes in regulations on there. So I would definitely encourage retailers to give SMS a try. And it's something that, has worked for us recently. And also for us, I think it's not just about traffic, it's about the right traffic. And that's, again, our relationships with the partner retailers and relationships with vendors and providers. I think those are ways that you can drive traffic to your site and create customers. So those are kind of the two ways that, one of them, of course, is after you create the customer, and the other one is the customer acquisition. And for us, SEO has been big throughout the years as well. So those are kind of the ways that we look at the best, cost-effective ways to drive traffic.
I think it's so easy to think traffic, 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 rather than thinking quality traffic. So I love that you made that point there, and great tips throughout. Tool top tip next, maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
Yeah, so going back to email deliverability, I just ran into a tool called Demarkian, which helps you kind of understand, helps you get your email in the inbox and not in the spam folder. Demarkian is a super inexpensive tool. And, because this day and age, you not only send an email from your ESP, but also from Yotpo or from Trustpilot or from another or from your or even directly from Google. I mean, you send emails out. So you need to make sure that all of those domains are set up properly with the different DNS records that are needed. So getting through that sort of process will really help your deliverability, and it's well worth it. So I would definitely recommend them.
anything that makes that process easier, because it's so easy to forget one
and
not include it. And then all of a sudden, none of your emails are getting delivered and you forgot, because you forgot to put something in the DNS records.
Yeah.
Is that spelt D-M-A-R-C-I-A-N? Would that be the one?
Yeah, it's D-M-A-R-C-I-A-N.
There we go. Good old D-Mark. Ian. In this case. Okay. Right. The carbon top tip. What's your favorite way to reduce the carbon footprint of an e-commerce store?
Yeah, I think one of the nice things about sustainability is the fact that it's also cost effective. So it's always, you know, it always kind of goes hand in hand for us because we send out a lot of boxes and the boxes are very big. We invest in our boxes and make sure we use cardboard boxes. And also we used to put a lot of stuff to keep the art and frame sturdy inside the box. And so this day and age, we've converted to air-filled corners that are very low in stuff. You know, they're just air, and it's also has reduced, you know, our dimensional weight, and also is more sustainable and more cost-effective. So that was that's something that we always like to pride ourselves of our packaging.
Yeah, it's always lovely when it delivers on so many fronts. It's like the packaging's costing us less, it weighs less, it's more sustainable, everyone's happier. So love that tip. Amitai, before we say goodbye, could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your business on the web and social media, please?
Yeah, so, sure. So we're overstockart.com. That's our main website. Artistbe.com or artistbecome.com is our sister site for up-and-coming artists. If you're an artist, you're welcome to sign up. You can always find me on LinkedIn, Amitai Sasson. And that's about it.
Simple as that. Thank you so much for being on the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. It's been fascinating finding about how you sell art online. So thank you so much for being here and sharing so much with us.
Thank you, Chloe. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
The complexity of selling art online. Love, though, the clarity that Amitai's got around what each channel is for and the way they use each of those channels. So the wholesaling, the drop shipping piece, that's about really building those relationships with the buyers to help them and to show them how to sell more of that product. Lower margin, but really useful way of getting the product in front of customers and educating customers that it exists. Then you've got what they're doing on their own site with huge amounts of forecasting and planning going into getting that inventory. That super clever piece they've got with the marketplace they've created for artists that gives them a whole amazing way of finding additional art to put on the website. And that laser-pointed SEO strategy of really focusing in on the big name artists to get people into the website. And then there's the third piece being the Amazon piece, where it's really all about the big name artists. So love the clarity he brings to each of those elements. So fascinating. Lots of bits to take from that one, I think. You can get your hands on our notes from this episode, including those top tips and links to the things we mentioned, by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com. You can also use our direct episode short links. Just put ecmp.info/ whatever the number is of this episode, and you'll find that wherever you're listening. Just put that into the URL bar and you'll go straight to the correct page on the website. And when you get to the website, you can also add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of those many, many things we share to help you with your business. If you like this episode, and you too are trying to crack the nut that is selling art successfully online, then have a listen to episode 260, where I'm chatting with Rebecca Wilson from Saatchi Art, who have the world's leading online art gallery, which is a different approach to this episode, but it will definitely help you build your understanding around selling art online. And you can find all our home and garden episodes from right now all the way back to the beginning of the show by going to ecmp.info/home if you want more home and garden selling ideas. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of the E-commerce Masterplan podcast and for all the episodes you choose to tune into. I bring you a new interview every week because I want to inspire and help e-commerce business owners like you to succeed and thrive with your businesses, including progressing along that all-important path to net zero. So if you know someone this show can help, please tell them to listen to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. I hope you have a great week. Don't forget to keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.
It's time to download our 500 top tips to make your e-commerce business more profitable ebook. Go to ecmp.info/ebook now.